हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 20, Lord Chaitanya instructs Sanatana Goswami in the science of the Absolute Truth. Page 124, Srila Prabhupada. These two verses are quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 11, 21, 42, and 43, when Uddhava asked Krishna about the purpose of Vedic speculation. The Lord informed him of the process of understanding the Vedic literature. The Vedas are composed of Karmakanda, Jnanakanda, and Upasanakanda. One who analytically studies the purpose of the Vedas understands that by Karmakanda, sacrificial activity, one comes to the conclusion of Jnanakanda, speculative knowledge. And after speculation, one comes to the conclusion of worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate. When one comes to this conclusion, he becomes fully satisfied. That's the purpose of speculation, to bring one eventually to bhakti. But this whole process may take, thousands of lifetimes. But, that's the whole point. So at some point you'll come in contact with the devotees. Having come in contact with the devotees, then one may then have that faith to take it up. Because as you're absorbed in karmakanda, jnanakanda, it may not be so much. Like you'll see is that those in Upasanakanda, they worship the demigods and all that. Like most the locals that you see, then they're easier to connect to Krishna consciousness than those in Jnanakanda. They're very difficult. And in karma, they're just so absorbed in that, the materialist, that they don't get into that. So the natural thing is then in Upasana, the goal is that you're worshiping the devatas, but in worshiping them, you have to worship Vishnu first. So then the natural thing is then why not worship Vishnu directly? Right? Does that make sense? Because the highest forms of that are worship of Vishnu. Yeah. Verses 149 to 406.
Upasanakanda, when they do
demigod worship, starting with Vishnu, do they understand the position of Vishnu, or do you just take Vishnu as another demigod? It's just like you want to build your house. This guy's got to sign the paper. You don't know who the guy is. You don't what he does in government. You couldn't care less.
Right.
As long as he signs your paper, you're good. So I want to worship this demigod, but I can't do it until I've worshipped Shaligram first. And then what's left from that, then I worship the demigod. It's just the rule, so I follow it, because I want the benefit. So that'll be the beginning. But then after some time, then, hearing these things about Vishnu being the supreme, this, that, then you start to think, if I have to worship the supreme to get the benefit from the demigod, so then why aren't I just worshiping the supreme? Like that. And then you have the direct aspects in Upasana, where you have the agamas, so Pancharatra coming from there, Vaikanas, these aspects, the Vaishnava Tantra, where you are directly worshipping Vishnu, like that. And so that would be the highest, the Shuddha Sattva of those. And then from there it goes downhill, like that. Does that make sense? So in other words, the others through ritualistic processes, then you're getting your benefit. The others through analytical processes. And then Upasana means through doing worship.
That's what Krishna says, pretty poor. They do it with no love.
Yeah, no love. It's just a matter of this is what you have to do. You know, those who are intelligent, you know, they, you know, it's just like you see, they're sitting there walking through the hallway and they're grumbling, talking about this and that and everything. Then you come to the office, you know, like that, knock on the door. When you walk in, suddenly you're dealing with a new person. He walks in, he's so nice, so friendly, so this and that, and how are you today, this, that, and oh, you know, we don't mind, you know, this paper and this and that, and so many things. And then as soon as you get the paper and you walk out, then, you know, back to normal. So it's just, they know this is just how you get things done. Is that make sense? Yeah, so then it's just anybody who's smart in the world, then they know you have to, you know, follow etiquettes. You have to be nice in all this. You may not like it, but that's how things work. You're nice because of false ego. You're nice, then people give you results. You know the ones that say, no, I don't have to be. I do how I want, and that, and they don't end up with anything. You know, does that make sense? You know, in reality, who ended up? Maybe in the movies, but in the reality, who ends up like that? You know, because that's the whole thing. It's because they'll only show those parts where he has the attitude, but how many of the things he's actually, you know, being nice. You know, generally they go in there, be nice, they figure out a better way to do it, if they can do it in that situation, or they make it their own situation. And then they continue doing what they do. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. I mean, you can be, but the problem is then you're only living off of what you should get from the past. So if you're supposed to get a whole lot of money, you will. But the problem is you're doing nothing now to cultivate it and maintain it, and so then at some point it will just be lost. You know, like all those other guys, you know, they come up there, they got attitude and everything like that, and then, you know, while they're there yelling and screaming how they're fabulous and they're God, a guy comes behind them and shoots them with a shotgun. No? Isn't it? Then you land in the pool, right?
Yeah.
Which
movie is that? Any movie.
This is just standard.
It's just the way it works. Because no one likes a guy with attitude that doesn't, you know, maintain friendship and this, that. He always gets it. You know? I mean, nowadays, you know, you may not, but previously, you know, it's just that's the way it worked. No?
The Great Gatsby.
That one I was thinking more of. Okay. Let's see. So he becomes fully satisfied when you come to worship Krishna, because the point is Krishna being everything, everything's working by Krishna's potency, Krishna's pervading everything, that means everything works according to Krishna's rules. It doesn't matter who you are or who you think you are, that's the way it works. It has nothing to do with you know, oh, we don't like this, oh no, but in this time, you know, people won't accept. It has nothing to do with any of that. You follow Krishna's rules, it works. You don't, it won't. It's that simple. He's in control, absolute control. And we have a little freedom that we want. You want to do this, okay, you can do that. But who's arranging it? That's the whole thing. The kid wants to go out in the backyard and run around and be crazy and all that. Whose backyard is it? Whose ball? Who bought the ball? Who bought the clothes? Who's feeding him? But he thinks I'm doing whatever I want, how I want, you know, when I want, you know, all that kind of stuff. So that's the difficulty, is that the reality is there's only Krishna. And to think anything else is illusion. So that's Lord Chaitanya's point, is when you come up to that, where you're actually dealing with Krishna as a person in devotion, then you will be satisfied. Before that, there is no question anybody, any living entity, will ever be satisfied. It's impossible. You know? That's all. Just, you know, probably gives an example. You water the root, the whole tree is happy. You know, but there's, you know, on one corner there's some leaf over there and he's got a bucket of water pouring it over his head, he still won't be happy. That's just the way it is. But the point is because we're an individual, we're a person, Krishna's an individual, he's a person, that interaction is so wonderful that it's this point that he's the supreme control, that doesn't actually matter. We're only pointing that out because people think that they can do whatever they like. You know? Does that make sense? You know, we get together, vox populi, we do what we decide. But reality is something else. That's the difficulty with these other paths, that you might think, I'm doing this, therefore I, you know, set the standards. And this is within the Vedic. As soon as you step out of the Vedic, then you're totally an illusion. Because then you sincerely think that, no, because people don't think like that, you can't, these things don't work. What do you mean? It's Krishna's world. It's the same world it was before. Does that make sense? You know, it's like, you know, how long ago was that they wrote the Brave New World? When did it happen? Where is that? You know, I was talking the New Deal. That was, I think, FDR's, right? Or was that
New World Order?
Yeah, New World Order. Where are these things?
Now they have the reset.
Yeah, the big reset. It's just that there's a, you know, how you say disease going on. Now they call it, oh, the big reset. You know, like this and that. You know, reset is called a crash. You know, it's called a recession. You know, there's other names. You know, so it's, the point is. People are saying this, but who's in control? It means they're all saying they're in control. You can't even go outside your house. You know? Like that. So who's in control? The material nature, she works under Krishna. So that's the point, is when you come to worship, the conclusion to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that's the ultimate, that the living entity will be satisfied, guaranteed. Because that's the natural position. Everything else is not natural. Yeah? 149 to 406. Sri Krishna and his expansions. 220, 149, 151. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. The transcendental form of Lord Krishna is unlimited and also has unlimited opulence. He possesses the internal potency, external potency, and marginal potency. The material and spiritual worlds are transformations of Krishna's external and internal potencies, respectively. Therefore, Krishna is the original source of both the material and the spiritual manifestations. Quote, the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam reveals the 10th object, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the shelter of all surrendered souls. He is known as Sri Krishna, and he is the ultimate source of all the universes. Let me offer my obeisances unto him. Srila Prabhupada. This is a quotation from the Bhavartha Deepika, Sridhar Swami's commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam 10.1.1. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a description of the Ashraya Tattva, Sri Krishna. There are two tattvas, Ashraya Tattva and Ashrita Tattva. Ashraya Tattva is the objective. Ashrita Tattva is the subjective. Since the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna are the shelter of all devotees, Sri Krishna is called Param Dhamma. In the Bhagavad Gita 10.12, it is stated, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam, Pavan. Everything is resting under the lotus feet of Krishna. In Srimad Bhagavatam 10.4.58, it is stated, Samashrita ye para pallavam plavam. Mahat padam punya yasho murarehi. Under the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, the entire Mahatattva is existing. Since everything is under Sri Krishna's protection, Sri Krishna is called Ashraya Tattva. Everything else is called Ashrita Tattva. The material creation is also Ashrita Tattva. Liberation from material bondage and the attainment of the spiritual platform are also Ashrita Tattva. Krishna is the only Ashraya Tattva. In the beginning of the creation, there are Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshay Vishnu and Kirodakshay Vishnu. They are also Ashraya Tattva. Krishna is the cause of all causes, Sarva Karana Karanam. To understand Krishna perfectly, one has to make an analytical study of Ashraya Tattva and Ashrita Tattva. Mm-hmm. Right? The subject and the object. So, in here is that the when we're talking about object in this context, that means the attention is and the endeavor is being directed towards the object. Right? We're performing an activity towards Krishna. So everybody is serving Krishna. So he's the ultimate in this way, the object. Right? Does that make sense? But as we were discussing this morning, also then it's you have the Vishaya as the subject. Means what everything is about, right? And so then, the object means who is the relationship with Krishna is being directed, right? Because they're the ashraya of the So that means it's the object there, and so therefore then Krishna's attention goes to that devotee in that rasa, right? When you're dealing there. But when we're dealing on this aspect here, when you're dealing in tattva, Krishna is the object because he's the ashraya of everything. Right? Does that make sense? When we're dealing on rasa, then we're saying the devotee is the ashraya of the rasa. So then it's that what is the, what mood that devotee's in, that's how Krishna reciprocates. Does that make sense? Because you'll see sometimes when the acharyas are talking, they'll use both perspectives.
Yes.
So, yeah.
So the roles can be reversed.
The point, the thing is in tattva, no. But in rasa, you'll see, then he may be the junior.
Not in every case, but sometimes.
Yes, but the point is no, but in rasa, he's the vishaya, and the devotee, all the devotees are the ashraya. But what we're talking here is in tattva, to be, because that's what he's saying, ashraya tattva, ashrita tattva. So in tattva, it's going to be that way.
What is ashrita now?
Ashrita means, he's mentioned here the subjective, it means, ashraya tattva means who's the shelter of everything. And ashrita means those tattvas that are sheltered by Krishna. So that means us, the external and the internal potencies. So he is ashraya, and everything else is ashrita. So the question is in which does everything rest? And that's in Krishna. The other one is because Krishna is the rasa. He is rasa. So therefore, the devotee who is the shelter or the ashraya of a particular rasa, then Krishna then reciprocates in that. Because Krishna is not in a rasa or doesn't have a rasa. He is rasa.
Yes, yes.
Right? But other devotees, they're in a particular rasa with Krishna.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So it's just how you're applying. The principle is there, that he's the shelter of that. It means the existence of everything and that's what's being talked about here. Does that make sense? 220, 152, 162. So when you see Krishna is the shelter of everything, then your attention goes to Krishna.
Yes.
Because otherwise we're thinking, oh no, this is the shelter, you know, the country is the shelter, this is shelter, so many things are shelter.
Yes.
And so, yes, you can do that, but why is that shelter for you?
Get something.
Yeah, means you relate to it, you can identify with it and all that. That's why it's shelter. But what's the potency that actually gives you that feeling? So one person is feeling safe in that environment, another one's in their environment.
Isn't there also the aspect of sharanagati or full surrender in the shelter? You're in the shelter because you have the attitude of full surrender.
Yes, yes, yes. Means on the devotional platform, that's what it's going to be. And even on the material, you surrender to something. But what I mean is just like, let us say we have the nicely lit street and the dark alley. So the, you know, just use, you know, be a, more of a cliche here. The upstanding citizen, which of the two is he feels safe and sheltered on? And then we have the criminal, the pickpocket, where does he feel sheltered? You know? So that's the whole point, is that it's they both feel the same shelter. So that potency is Krishna. So Krishna comes to each of them in their own way. Like that. So everybody's taking shelter of Krishna. Does that make sense? But in relationship, then Krishna reciprocates that shelter in the way according to the taste that the devotee has for Krishna. Does that make sense? But the position stays the same. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. O Sanatana, please hear about the eternal form of Lord Krishna. He is the absolute truth, devoid of duality, but present in Vrindavan as the son of Nanda Maharaj. Krishna is the original source of everything and the sum total of everything. He appears as the supreme youth, and his whole body is composed of spiritual bliss. He is the shelter of everything and master of everyone. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the supreme controller. He has an eternal, blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. 53. This is the first verse of the fifth chapter of the Brahma Samhita. The original supreme personality of Godhead is Krishna. His original name is Govinda. He is full of all opulences, and his eternal abode is known as Goloka Vrindavan. Quote, all these incarnations of Godhead are either plenary portions or parts of the plenary portions of the Purusha avatars. But Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead himself. In every age, he protects the world through his different features when the world is disturbed by the enemies of Indra. 54. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3. Is that 28?
Should be 28.
Yes. Okay. There are three kinds of spiritual processes for understanding the absolute truth. The process of speculative knowledge, mystic yoga, and bhakti yoga. According to these three processes, the absolute truth is manifested as Brahman Paramatma or Bhagavan. Right? So if you're looking for the absolute truth, you have these three processes. You know, if you're broadening it to just what people are engaged in, then there's going to be karma, jnana, and bhakti. Because then you can say the lower, what is it? You have the, I never can remember which is higher, yoga ruruksu or yoga aruda. Yoga aruda is higher, no?
Yes.
So yoga ruruksu, that's more connected with karma. And yoga aruda, that's more connected with jnana. So it's already covered in the other two. But for this, then you understand it's these three processes, speculative knowledge, mystic yoga, and bhakti yoga. Because according to these three processes, the absolute truth is manifesting as Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. Right? For the speculative knowledge is Brahman, mystic yoga is Paramatma, bhakti yoga is Bhagavan. Quote, learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. 55. This is a quotation of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.11. The manifestation of the impersonal Brahman effulgence, which is without variety, is the rays of Krishna's bodily effulgence. It is exactly like the sun. When the sun is seen by our ordinary eyes, it appears to consist simply of effulgence. Quote, I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is endowed with great power. The glowing effulgence of his transcendental form is the impersonal Brahman, which is absolute, complete, and unlimited, and which displays a variety of countless planets with their different opulences in millions and millions of universes. 56. This verse is quoted from the Brahma Samhita 5.40. Paramatma, so we see here is that everything's based on Brahman. Mm-hmm. All the manifestations of everything, because it's the Sandini potency that's doing all these things. And so everything comes out of that feature, that general feature. That's the manifestation of everything. Then, having that, then you do things with that, and then there's an experience. So the ultimate is the experience. That's gained by doing. That's gained. That's gained in the field. So everything is situated on Brahman, right? So Brahman, that yeah. The Paramatma, the super soul feature, is a plenary portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the original soul of all living entities. Krishna is the source of the Paramatma. Quote, "You should know Krishna to be the original soul of all Atmas, living entities. For the benefit of the whole universe, he has, out of his causeless mercy, appeared as an ordinary human being. He has done this by the strength of his own internal potency." Srila Prabhupada. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.55. Pariket Maharaj asked Sukadeva Goswami why Krishna was so beloved by the residents of Vrindavan, who loved him even more than their own offspring or life itself. At that time, Sukadeva Goswami replied that everyone's Atma or soul is very, very dear, especially to all living entities who have accepted material bodies. But that Atma, the spirit soul, is part and parcel of Krishna. For this reason, Krishna is very dear to every living entity. Right? Because your Atma is the most dear. Right? But then he's the Atma of the Atma. So he's the most dear. Yeah. 220, 163, 165. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "But what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe." 57. This quotation from Bhagavad Gita 10:42. "Only by devotional activity can one understand the transcendental form of the Lord, which is perfect in all respects. Although his form is one, he can expand his form into unlimited numbers by his supreme will. The Supreme Personality of Godhead exists in three principal forms, Swayam Rupa, Tad Ekatma Rupa, and Avesha Rupa." Srila Prabhupada. Srila Rupa Goswami has described the Swayam Rupa in his Lego Bhagavatam Rita, Purva Kanda, verse 12. "Ana ya pekshi yadurupam Swayam Rupa sauchate." The form of the Supreme Personality Godhead that does not depend on other forms is called the Swayam Rupa, the original form. End quote. This form is also described in Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam, 1.3.28. "Krishna is the original form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead." End quote. That Krishna form, as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan, is the original form of the Personality of Godhead, Swayam Rupa, as is confirmed in Brahma Samhita 5.1. "Ishvarah Parama Krishnas Satchidananda Vigraha Anadi Radi Govindas Sarvakarana Karanam." There is nothing superior to Govinda. He is the ultimate source and the cause of all causes. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 7:7, where the Lord says, "Matav Paratanam Nanyat." There is no truth superior to me. The Tad Ekatma Rupa forms are also described in the Lagu Bhagavatam Rita, Purva Kanda, verse 14. "Yad Rupam Yad Abhedena Swarupena Virajate A Akritya Dhibhir Anyadriksa Tad Ekatma Rupa Tad Ekatma Rupaka." The Tadekatma Rupa form exists simultaneously with the Swayam Rupa form and are non-different. At the same time, their bodily features and specific activities appear to be different. The Tadekatma Rupa forms are divided into two categories, Swamsa and Vilas. Lord Krishna's Avesha forms are also explained in the Lagu Bhagavatam Rita, Purva 18. "Jnana Shaktyadi Kalaya Yatravishto Janardana Tad Avesha Nigadyante Jiva Eva Mahatma." A living entity who is specifically empowered by the Lord with knowledge or strength is technically called Avesha Rupa. End quote. As stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya 7:11. Krishna Shakti Vina Nahe Tara Pravartana. Unless a devotee is specifically empowered by the Lord, he cannot preach the holy name of the Lord all over the world. This is an explanation of the word Avesha Rupa. Right? So that means you'll have his original form, all his expansions, and then you'll have the empowered jivas. Right? And then there'll be within that, then there'll be subcategories according to their specifics and everything like that. Yeah? 220, 146, 173. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. The original form of the Lord, Swayam Rupa, is exhibited in two forms, Swayam Rupa and Swayam Prakash. In his original form as Swayam Rupa, Krishna is observed as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan. In his original form, Krishna manifests himself in two features, Prabhava and Vaibhava. He expands his one original form into many, as he did during the Rasa dance. When the Lord married 16,108 wives at Dwarka, he expanded himself into many forms. These expansions and the expansions at the Rasa dance are called Prabhava Prakasha. According to the directions of the revealed scriptures, the Prabhava Prakasha expansions of Lord Krishna are not like the expansions of the sage Saubari. Had they been so, Narad would not have been so astonished to see them. Quote, it is astounding that Lord Sri Krishna, who is one without a second, expanded himself in 16,000 similar forms to marry 16,000 queens in their respective homes. 58. This verse is spoken by Narad Muni in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.69.2. If one form of feature is differently manifested according to different emotional features, it is called Vaibhava Prakasha. When the Lord expands himself in innumerable forms, there are no difference in the forms, but due to different features, bodily colors, and weapons, the names are different. Quote, in different Vedic scriptures are prescribed rules and regulated principles for worshipping different types of forms. When one is purified by these rules and regulations, he worships you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although manifested in many forms, you are one. Srila Prabhupada. This verse is quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.47. In the Vedas, it is stated that the one becomes many, Eko Bahushyam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead expands himself in various forms, Vishnu Tattva, Jiva Tattva, and Shakti Tattva. According to the Vedic literatures, there are different regulative principles for the worship of each of these forms. If one takes advantage of the Vedic literatures and purifies himself by following the rules and regulations, ultimately he worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 4.11, Mama Vartmanu Vartante Manushya Sarva Manushya Parta Sarva Saha. Worship of the demigods is in a sense worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But such worship is said to be avidipurvakam, improper. Actually, demigod worship is meant for unintelligent men. One who is intelligent considers the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sarva Dharmam Parityaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja, Bhagavad Gita 18.66. One who worships demigods worships the Supreme Lord indirectly. But according to the revealed scriptures, there's no need to worship him indirectly. One can worship him directly. So that means the worship of the demigods, since you're worshiping the Lord and all that, you're indirectly, because you're respecting the potency of those demigods. But that potency comes from Krishna, so you're actually worshiping Krishna. Udriti. Yeah?
Because we read already teachings to Rupa Goswami, and now we read about teaching to Sanatana Goswami, it sounds like they wrote their books together, because what is given by Mahaprabhu to one appears in the Lagu Bhagavatamrita, and also we read in the teachings to Rupa Goswami. It is that which was written by Sanatana Goswami. So it seems like they cooperated together in writing those books. Is that true?
It could be. It's just that the same knowledge that, depending upon how you're applying it, may be used as Sambandha or may be used as Avideya. That aspect's going to be there. So you're not going to have, because Avideya means you're applying. You hear the knowledge, the Abhidish, you know, through the Abhidish Shakti. You understand it, that's Sambandha Gyan. You apply it, that's Abhideya.
Right.
So basically the knowledge is the same, but one is understanding who you are and the other is acting in that relationship. So the knowledge, just like you, when you say someone has knowledge and skills, but he's not using them, he just has them. That's the position he can function within. Right? But then he will apply them. Does that make sense? So that's the difference between the two. So nowadays, because there's not much difference made in this, then there are people who, you know, they have some knowledge and skill, but they can't necessarily use it. You know?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So let's say you go to engineering college, and you learn practical engineering and do things, you know, with real things. Like that. Then when you get out of there and you go into the work world and all that, or go to some higher educational element, then you're just going to continue on from there but get practical experience. Now you're going to apply it as Avideya.
Yeah.
Right? But then you have the other, and so many of the other areas that don't have that practical aspect. You learn all that, then when you get to the next higher level, they tell you, whatever you learned before, forget that. Now we'll teach you the real thing. And they keep doing that at every level. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, it's like whatever you learned before high school, they tell you, now we're going to teach you the real thing. When you get to university, undergraduate, they tell you, whatever you learned in high school, forget that. Now we'll teach you. When you get to the master's, they tell you, oh, that was all nonsense. Because it's never practically applied. So everybody has their own idea, they speculate what their value is, but you see when there's practical application of, they have the knowledge, they practically apply it, then it's there. So the two go together. Mm-hmm. So that's why sitting around in a room looking at bullet points on the board, that's nice if you can bring it to the point to practically apply it. But if not, then just because you discuss those things and all that, and then because you discussed it and it was nicely presented, you think, okay, now it's accomplished and all that. Let's move on to the next thing. Then in Hitu Pradesh, that says that's how fools think.
It's an interesting analogy, because when you do an undergraduate study and you pick one topic, you have about 20 other topics that you must learn. Then when you do your master's degree, you refine your topic, but you still have many other topics that you must learn. It's only when you get to your PhD that you choose your topic and you concentrate on that and you practice it.
Yeah. So it's just, you know, somehow or another, because they're trying to prepare you. So technically in that, then getting the doctorate means then you actually know. And then, because you have the doctorate, doesn't mean that you can apply that practically.
That's right.
Because you've just analyzed it.
That's right.
You know?
Most PhDs work in stocking up the shelves of the supermarket at night.
Yeah. Got to pay the bills, you know. Yeah.
What do they say? You publish or you perish.
Yeah. So that's the thing, is that it's they're intelligent. They're using their intelligence. You know, they're working in the intellectual community, but at the same time, is its actual practical application. You know what I'm saying? If you know, it's like if you're doing something and all it's doing is making more people that can do what you do, and that's the only purpose that it's doing, then what's the value? That means if you disappear, you don't create anybody more like that. The world hasn't lost anything. No? Yeah. So the Sambandha Gyan, that's why though the scholars, they may learn the Sambandha Gyan, but if they don't apply it in Abhideya as devotees, they won't understand. But they think, because I've gone through this knowledge, then I know all this, and therefore, you know, it's already done. Just by me having the knowledge, it's done. I'm already superior. I'm already in authority. I'm already, you know, advanced. But until you apply it, You know, that's why there's that, you know, famous story of the scholar and the boatman. You know. Yeah. Oh, that was here in yeah. So that's the point is that all this knowledge is wonderful. The acharyas, then they're all great scholars, but their identity is not that of a scholar, and their methodology is not that of scholarship. Their methodology is pure bhakti, and so they may use that to present for people who think they're intelligent. But, you know, means that the pure devotee, they're intelligent. Someone in pursuit of pure devotion, they're intelligent. Anything else, they may have intelligence, but you can't call them intelligent. You know, as the boatman pointed out. You may have all this, but your life is wasted. I'm sure that if you make a comparison, there's more people that know, you know, would know, let's say, a guy like Evel Knievel than would know, you know, the local professors down at the university. Doesn't know either.
We know neither of them.
No, neither of them. Yeah. Yeah, so, but if you look up, his name will be there. You look the name up, you'll find it. He'll have tons of pictures. I'll have big things about it. There'll be a ton. But those professors, who cares?
You know, Maharaj, on Prabhu's point, in China, we have no temples, no deity worship, no sankirtan, no free book distribution, no harana, no farm, no restaurant, no guru.
When you say no free distribution, means you charge for all books.
I mean, it's Krishna consciousness on the computer, pretty much. Maybe we can get together. And what the devotees are doing now is they just go from one course to another, one class to another, non-stop. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, where are you going with all this? If you don't do something practical,
yes,
you're just piling up all this stuff that you may not even understand.
Yeah. But just because they're hearing and chanting the association devotees, that's service. And at some point that will become practical. But the practical means they apply it in their own life. Abhideya means you apply it in your own life. Yes. And then, as a Sankirtan movement, you try to help others. Yes. So it appears that because it's expanding, that they are helping others, you know, in some way.
Yes.
You know, so you do the best you can in the situation you're in.
Yeah.
Like that, because, you know, by keeping like that, then people leave you alone, you know. You know, as soon as you build a temple, then, you know, you'll have X amount of government officials dressed there in dhotis and saris that are just sitting there because that's their job, you know, to keep an eye. You know? But you keep it in the home, then they're cool.
That's
true. So you do what you can. So I wouldn't worry. There, it means they're keeping themselves busy and all that.
Yeah.
And so there's a sincerity, there's an interest, there's a drive.
Yeah.
So that's all good. But it's because what we're meaning is there's an attitude, because I have knowledge, that's what makes me perfect. Rather than I'm applying myself in the devotional process, that is the key to perfection. So in here, even though they're studying knowledge, it's still in pursuance of service. So they're taking it that studying a course is service. Right? But there are those who study a course think it's about knowledge. They're the ones that'll have the problem. But if it's seen as service, that you're always hearing and chanting about Krishna.
Well, you know, I'm sorry to bring this up, but we've had this discussion with devotees who are in charge of the educational department for the whole of ISKCON. And one key question was asked, after all these years, what happens after a devotee has completed their study? Is there a career move? Do you have an exit for them that they go into the world and do something? Is there something applicable? Like, remember I interviewed you about what's the outcome of the Gurukul kids, what do they do?
Mm-hmm.
And we get some very practical things.
Mm.
But we talk to the educational people, they never thought of that question.
No.
What do you do with the devotees after they complete their training?
Because, see, there's one thing is that there's bureaucrats, there's teachers, and then there's educators. And though there's the, you can say, is there's a commonality, but you know, some common ground between educators and teachers, then bureaucrats are in a different thing, because for them it's about managing something and all that, and as a bureaucrat you want the least amount of problems. So whatever is the, so just as in bhakti, whatever is favorable for pleasing Krishna, you accept, and whatever is not, you drop. You don't care whether in the material world values it or not. So in bureaucracy, then whatever is going to be the easiest for you to get done, then you accept that, and you drop anything else. It doesn't matter if in the spiritual world it's of value or not. So that's why our line, we've never been, you see, with Prabhupada, he's never impressed with bureaucrats. You need them. But there's no question that anyone in the real world, either spiritual or material, puts them in charge. Like that. They assist people who lead. They're not leaders on any day of the week. You know, in any month, in any year, in any century, in any millennium, you know. We could just keep going, just keep adding zeros, you know, to them. Yes?
I'm sorry. But that, could we answer to this kind of question as teachers or as, you know, someone who is in charge of an educational program, that it is actually a personal responsibility of the student and the yatra, the authority in the yatra they're going to, because we have an educational program, but our service is to educate students. We don't know what they do, or do they practice.
Because there's no, see, is that in the standard, let's say in the Vedic tradition, is, let's say, everyone goes to the through the Vedic educational process. Then you're going to have, administration is going to see that you are engaged according to how you identify yourself after having been engaged. They don't engage you, they see that you are engaged.
Right,
because opportunities are there. It means they're to see that all the opportunities are there, you have to choose. So again, like you said, it's personal. And the community around you, you know, generally having come from a similar background, then they're also going to point out how you will be engaged in that. You know, it's just like you could say, in the beginning years, there was no bhakti program. Right? And so everybody was a bhakti instructor. If you join one day before the next guy, whatever you learned in that one day, you're telling him. So, you know, in 2 weeks, you know everything that there is to know as far as the lifestyle and engagement is there in the temple. You know, in 2 weeks. So that means it's the individual, it's also the community, it's the administration, you know, it's the leadership. But it's not about that they have to, you know, personally place you. There has to be seen that there are places, and you are instructed how to take advantage, but you have to do it. So both of them go together. Because there's things, no, they have to take you out and take you through and put you in like this. Okay, then you have to choose how many people can you do that with. You take a handful of people, you take them through. Okay, nice. Who's dealing with the other ones?
You're saying you create the facility, and then they see where they fit in best.
Yes, because you're trying to train, make them aware of who they are spiritually and what is their condition, nature. And so with that, then they can go out and try to do something. But it's when they go out to apply it, then you actually see. Like, let's say you have a kid, he's totally into music in the school, but it doesn't mean he's a musician by occupation. It may be his hobby. But in the school, you can't really tell the difference. Doesn't matter. He's good at that. He learns that. But when he gets out, then you'll find it's either a hobby of his or it's his occupation. Or you might find out that if it's his, you know, so if it's his occupation, okay. But if it's his hobby, that means he's going to have to use something else. You know? So, like that, it's the school trains them according to what's there, what the potential is being shown. But when they go out to apply it, that's where you define their varna. Right? Because when you're in the practical workplace. But in the school, you may, according to the nature they do, train them according to that. So use varnas and all that kind of thing. But then, as Prabhupada mentioned about the you know, the about management, like talking about the temple president, that he has to be, you know, know Krishna conscious, be Krishna conscious. But then the next point he mentions, he has to understand people's nature and how to engage them. So in other words, he has to understand how Varnashram works and who does what. And so when someone comes along, you engage them accordingly. You don't use this philosophy, oh, we're not the body, and then make them do anything. You can do that for emergency or short term or for some training, like everybody washes pots. That's fine, because that's an ashram activity. But if you're addressing their nature and what activity they can do as a sustainable activity, then you have to see their nature. And so if that's not cultivated, then that means the you can say your administration and leadership is not doing that part of their job. They may be inspiring Krishna consciousness, but how to engage that according to their position, that's not being done. So the whole point is if you don't accept Varnashram, you don't accept the, you know, that have that faith that everything's contained in devotional service so it can all be connected, then you can't do this. And so then what are you going to take shelter of? You have to take shelter of whatever the karmis are doing with the karmis. And then try to come up with, yes, you know, we have a plan for this and that, but, you know, that's everybody says that. Yeah, everybody says that. You know, Prabhupada says about the scientists. You know, probably, maybe, perhaps, you know, it appears so. You know, all these kind of positions. I remember in the books when I was a kid, you'd always see it. Before we thought, now we know. You know? And then, you know, but the problem is they said the same thing 10 years before. And they'll say the same thing 10 years after. You know? So that's the difficulty. It's if you base off of the speculative position, then nothing will ever work out nicely. Because they don't know what they're doing, where they're going. So if we, like Prabhu had mentioned before, I think it was Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, we're getting enamored, yeah, fascinated by the material energy and by people's success in it. And think, oh, yeah, we want to be part of that. But if you look at it, that goes back to their conditioning before taking up Krishna consciousness. Because they'll only be fascinated with those things. You know? Does that make sense? You know, you're not going to be fascinated with something else. So then what's the point? So that's why we have to seriously take Krishna consciousness and the culture of Krishna consciousness and apply those together. And in those things, then it works. Otherwise, they'll only be speculation. Because it is. The individual is responsible for them. That's why it's called self-realization. They have to apply it because it's their surrender, their independent will. They surrender, they get the benefit. The other person doesn't, they don't. It's not Ekajivavad here. You know, one guy surrenders, everybody surrenders. So we work it out. Okay, who amongst all the devotees, you know, tens of thousands, is going to surrender, and everybody else will just sit back and, you know, drink our pina coladas and, you know, like that, you know.
and cheer him up.
Yeah, yeah, come on, yeah, like that, you know.
We tried it for exams in childhood.
Yeah? Oh, one guy does and then everybody else, and then when the teacher figures it out that they're all exactly the same, then does one guy pass and everybody else fails, or they all fail?
They all pass, because nobody writes the question in the order. You mix it.
Oh, okay. So. They're smarter. Okay.
That was maybe a 7-year-old.
Hmm? Training from early.
Start early.
Yeah, well, that's how you get ahead. Right? Yeah, okay. You don't get into IIT starting late, right? Okay.
That's how you can see it was going to go where.
Yeah. Like that, yeah. At the same time as you're trying to train them to be able to think and understand and to have that inspiration to apply it themselves. But at the same time, you can only do how much you can. You know what I'm saying? So others that can't do, they may criticize. But the point is okay, so where's your results? You know? So that's the whole thing, is that you teach people how to think. That's more important. I even think, isn't there some saying like that? Some big guy said something about
teaching how to catch fish, something.
So yeah,
teaching how to catch fish, not kill fish, or something like that.
Yeah, there's some kind of thing where the thing how to think. Then from there, they'll work it out themselves, because they have their own idea of what they want to do by association, but when they go out, then they start to see as, you know, that's there, but, you know, it might not be as immediate as they were talking. It might be a 10-year plan, or, you know.
Well, nowadays, they teach the kids how to get good marks.
Mm, yes.
Whether you're thoughtful or you don't know nothing about it, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
As long as you get good marks, you pass, you glorify it, that's it. Everybody's happy.
Yeah. Until you get to the job application. Then you find out you're just one in another 100 guys there. And the guy who got it was the guy who closed the door, you know, instead of everybody else who just walked out. You know, and so your mother could have taught you, and that he learned that from his mother. So, yeah. Yeah, no, the whole thing is one has to see it from the Krishna conscious perspective, and then from there add it, make it practical. You can't use modern perspectives and then analyze the Vedic and say if it's successful or not, because all the individuals doing that, how successful are they? You know, does that make sense? So you have to try, and you do your best. And then with time, you know, as it is, it'll get better and better. It's the golden age. It's going to get better. Whether we think it is or not, that doesn't matter, as we said before in the original. It's Krishna's world. It's Krishna's age. It's Lord Chaitanya's golden age, not ours. And it's Krishna's Kali Yuga, not ours. And so therefore, it's going to work out how he wants. It's just, as Prabhupada said, it's just who gets the credit. Who takes part and who doesn't. That's that. And the fun part is, as long as you remember Krishna at the time of death, you'll go back to Godhead. So whether you've actually fully appreciated or not, or this or that, as long as you can think of Krishna, you're successful. You know, so Krishna's very, very kind. So, yes.
The goal of education is to become a devotee of Krishna.
Yes, that's the goal.
And if we cannot be fully, but if we can advance, it's a success.
Yes, means you have that as your goal. You have that as your determination. Yes. That's something special. Yes. To have pure devotional service as your goal, that's special.
Yes.
And so you work at it according, you see what your desires are, what your needs are, and you work within that context and you build it up. because everyone's not young forever, you know. With time, you know, life moves on. You know, so at some point, all those important things when you're a kid aren't so important anymore. You know, it's kind of like, who cares? Huh? You know, it's like, what do you call it? You know, you work all your life to get that Lamborghini, but then you're too old to drive it, you know. And you know, have you ever seen a chauffeur driving and then the other guy's in there? No, that's why you shouldn't have gone for that. You should have gone for the Rolls Royce, right? And it would have been cheaper.
Know your priorities.
You know, if you could plan this, you're going to be 60, then get the Rolls. You know? No?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say Rolls. What do you mean Bentley? What are you talking about?
Get your bicycle together.
Hmm?
Get your bicycle together.
Yeah, but you might need three wheels. You know?
Yes.
Udriti. Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Chapter 6. We were already doing this. We did that.
No, we didn't start.
Hmm? Oh, because it's okay. It's because it's teaching Lord Chaitanya. It's the same thing. Okay. The personal form of Krishna can be divided into two, Swayam Rupa and Swayam Prakash. Right? So that's all within Swayam Rupa. So that's an important thing to note within the Vedic way of defining things, is that a category, an overall category, it will have its name, but a subcategory within that can have the same name. So if that does, then you know that that part is the most important part of all the parts. Does that make sense? Just like you have Jyotish. Jyotish has six subsections. One of them is called Jyotish. So you know that that's the most important, not the other ones. The other ones are in support of that. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So like that. So therefore you have the one category called Swayam Rupa. Within that it has a subcategory, Swayam Rupa and Swayam Prakash. Mm-hmm. Then you know Swayam Rupa is the primary one within that. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Yeah. As far as the Swayam Rupa or pastime form is concerned, it is in that form that he remains always in Vrindavan with the inhabitants of Vrindavan. His personal form, Swayam Rupa, can be further divided into Prabhava and Vaibhava forms. For instance, Krishna expanded himself in multiple forms during the Rasa dance in order to be with each and every gopi who took part in forms in order to accommodate his 16,108 wives. There are some instances of great mystics also expanding their bodily features in different ways. But Krishna did not expand himself by any yoga process. Each expansion of Krishna was a separate individual. In Vedic history, Sobari Rishi, a sage, expanded himself into eight forms by the yoga process. But Sobari Rishi remained one. As far as Krishna is concerned, when he manifested himself in different forms, each and every one of them was a separate individual. When Narad Muni visited Krishna at different palaces at Dwarka, he was astonished at this, and yet Narada is never astonished to see expansions of a yogi's body, since he knows the trick himself. Yet, in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that Narada was actually astonished to see the expansions of Krishna. He wondered how the Lord was present with his queens in each and every one of his 16,108 palaces. With each queen, Krishna himself was in a different form. And he was acting in different ways. In one form, he was engaged in playing with his children. And in yet another form, he was performing some household work. These different activities are conducted by the Lord when he is in his, quote-unquote, emotional forms, which are known as Vaibhava Prakash expansions. Okay, what was the one before? Prabhava and Vaibhava.
Prabhava is influence, Maharaj. And Vaibhava is like emotions.
Okay.
So the first one is just the influence, the same person expanding.
Okay, and when you're taking the emotional mood of each one, then you're going to say, okay, so that means him being with the queens,
Yeah.
That Vai Baba is different from him being with the gopis.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Oh, okay.
So that's the confusion already.
That's okay, because we're thinking it completely separate, but it's the same thing. One is you're considering that he's expanding, the other expanding what's the mood.
Vaibhava Prakash in Dwarka and Vrindavan is still considered Vaibhava Prakash, both of them?
Means if you're looking at it that he expanded to 16,108, then that's Prabhava. You think of the emotional mood that's there, each one has the difference, that's the Vaibhava.
Vaibhava mood is for pastimes. And Balaramji comes in there.
In the?
Vaibhava Prakash.
Vaibhava Prakash. But this was in Swayam Rupa and Swayam Prakash, but that he's in the Prakash. Because we're talking in the Swayam Rupa, then within that, then you have the Prabhava and Vaibhava.
Not the same thing, Maharaj. Earlier it's described in a different way. Here Prabhupada says, within the Swayam Rupa there is Swayam Prakash and, Vaibhava Prakash and Prabhava Prakash, and the teachings of Lord Chaitanya.
Vaibhava Prakash and?
Prabhava Prakash.
And Prabhava Prakash, okay.
And then in there it is said there is Swayam Rupa, Swayam Prakash, and the Swayam Prakash then two categories. They just separated Swayam Rupa because that is the original Krishna, is the fountain head.
Right.
And then there is another called Swayam Prakash within which there are two categories. Here Prabhupada didn't...
Oh, say it's personal, can divide into two. So all these expansions are all part of Swayam Prakash.
Yes.
And so Swayam Rupa is just him as the son of Maharaj Nanda,
yes.
performing his pastimes.
Yes.
Everything else will fall into Swayam Prakash,
yes.
in various ways. And then you have the... But this is all within... But
Swayam Rupa. This is all within
Swayam Rupa. But then when we get into the other, then that means all the... then you. So then that would be all the...
Everything below.
Okay.
Vrindavan pastimes.
Because where was it? Swayam... Tad ekatma rupa.
There, when Krishna doesn't identify himself with the mood of Krishna,
that is tad ekatma.
Yes.
So that will mean Vaikuntha.
Yes.
So that means as long as in Goloka, that will all be swayam rupa.
But when he doesn't identify, yeah, it's like when you say Dwaraka also as Vaikuntha, how you categorize
okay.
it depends.
But then Balaram doesn't identify himself as Krishna.
But he is also that pastime involved, that definition is there. It's the same Krishna, but just the form is different. He's Krishna with a different form and different mood.
Mm.
When you categorize like that, because
okay,
that's
so
why
that's
Balaram
the, that,
comes
that's the Prakash aspect of
Vaibhava.
That's the Vaibhava.
Vaibhava Prakash. And again, Balaramji comes in, Tadekatma Rupa also.
Because he expands everything
yes,
else.
Yes. So when Balaramji takes that mood, then he's categorized here.
Okay. So he's more taking the mood of Narayana. He takes that one when he's sick. Okay.
So then that's why this whole thing is so confusing. Nobody ever made. Exactly.
Yeah, because you try to make it in a thing, but then all the things are connected, interconnected. So there's a... Because it's one person. So that's why it becomes confusing. Well, what are all the... And it's the same person.
But, so can we say that Prabhava and Vaibhava in Swayam Rupa, who is who?
Means you have Prabhava and Vaibhava and Swayam Rupa. Do you also have the Prabhava and Vaibhava within Swayam Prakash, or this Prabhava and Vaibhava are within Swayam Prakash?
Yes, is Prabhava and Vaibhava is in Swayam Prakash according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, because there he said Swayam Rupa has two categories, Swayam Rupa and Swayam Prakash, and then categorized Prabhava and Vaibhava Prakash in Swayam Prakash. But here in teachings of Lord Chaitanya Prabhupada just said Swayam Rupa has two categories, which is Prabhava and Vaibhava. So he didn't use the term Swayam Prakash as a separate thing.
No, here. The personal form of Krishna we divide into two, Swayam Rupa and Swayam Prakash.
This is in teaching, this is in Trichy. This is in Trichy, no?
TLC.
Yes.
But it says his personal form, Swayam Rupa, can be further divided into Vaibhav, Prabhav and Vaibhav. Mm-hmm. You know, the expansions of Krishna there. So then...
Another place in Back to Godhead, he defines Prabhav is influence, Vaibhav is emotion.
Influence and emotions. Yes, so that means it can be two different aspects of one person.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have the chart, Maharaj, when with Lagu Bhagavatamrita, we have the chart, remember? So it was more clear when you see and then Swayam Rupa is here and then divide him and then go in those directions.
Maybe you should get that out.
Yeah, we have it.
Who made that?
In Lagu Bhagavatamrita. We used it when we studied.
The CC study guide of the Chapati Devotees, we have the whole chart.
Yeah, that's the same chart, Maharaj. There, it's not.
But it's not clear.
There are some mistakes in it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Anyway, you should check out.
So maybe try to check the charts and see if you can put one together.
Yes.
Because next year we're going to teach Swami Bhagavatam. We don't want to mess it up.
I thought of waiting till the Sandarbha, Krishna Sandarbha, and then make cool.
In there it's explained.
It's there also again.
Oh, okay.
That's why I was very attentive here now. So that I can make
See, and the fun part is we're looking at it and it'll be, we'll think it's maybe not as clear as, you know, it makes sense to us. But once one does understand it, you'll see that the wording that Prabhupada uses is very exact, and he's very exactly said what it is. Like that. It's just that we don't catch which words are meaning what, necessarily. Because the point is it's all Krishna, so that's the point to be happy about.
I would say it's also a question of, it's a question of language. If you are very prolific in Sanskrit, it's just like reading English.
Yeah. Yeah, but the thing is since they don't you don't have these concepts in English.
Right, that's true.
So it doesn't. It's not so great at bringing it out. So by different aspects, they show the emotional forms and what was the other, the influence. You know, and so then the emotions is going to be, you know, that mood and all that will be connected more with the Ladini, and the influence is going to be more connected with the Sambit and Sandini. And so in that way, you get these different flavors. And so then what falls in what? Because the same thing has these different aspects. You know, that Krishna is expanding and all that, that's going to be taken care of by the Sandini potency. That all these forms are there. But then the action that they're performing, that will be done by the Sambit. But the taste that's gotten there, the emotional content, that will be Ladini. So that's the thing, is that all these things are going on together. So then, by catching the few little points, then you can start to put together which aspects they're meaning. Because it means it's just like Samba, Navide, and Prayojana. Since everything goes back to that, it's referring to everything also. So we'll catch a few words and then, you know, identify everything and do it like that. And it's correct, but it doesn't necessarily show how to practically pull everything in. You know, like we saw is that the, you know, some earlier discussions, certain words are prominent, but then just, you know, when he was talking, I think, with Rupa Goswami, then bringing out the Samvit aspect is willpower. You know, because if there's willpower, you do things. And so that brings in, that's the Avideya aspect, is the willpower. We'll just generally talk, you know, doing it, but it's the willpower to do that. That's the important, because then if you have the will, then, you know, where is it? There's a will, there's a way. Yeah. So that's the thing, is getting down to these key, that then you can see through that. Because we generally take it, unless we can see these forms, we can't, you know, for us, unless it can be defined on Sandini, we can't figure it out. Like that, and maybe a little bit of the Samvit, but then, you know, it gets thrown off too much, you know, because it's like before he was saying about how it's the same Krishna, because he has that one identity. Krishna and Dwarka is still thinking he's the Krishna, you know, that the son of Mother Jashoda, like that. But because his parents are there, then he'll interact with them and he'll do all those different things. So Goloka, he has that one mood. When you leave that, then he has that other mood. But those moods that leave from there, those are already coming from Mathura. You know, because the Mathura, then you see when he's going through the streets, when he comes in, he has four arms. Like that. But it's a Goloka form. But then, when that goes, you know, out, so that's Maha Vaikuntha. You know, so when the Shris and that talk about Maha Narayan in Maha Vaikuntha, that's Maha Vaikuntha, that's Maha Narayan. Then that goes back. Then, you know, I mean, see, then that expands out, and then you get all the Vaikuntha planets. You know what I'm saying? But they'll do that specifically as Sankarshan will do those expansions and like this. Something sense. So you're going to have two aspects that are there. One is where you're technically going out, and the other is then the different moods and all that. And so because it's one person and it overlaps, that's where the confusion comes in. So depending you're talking about it this way, you look at it like that the other side. When you're looking at it the other way, then you're bringing out that aspect. You know, it's like you're bringing out the aspect that he's expanded to 16,108, you know, for all the palaces. So that's one aspect that he's just done that, and that's what Narad Muni is amazed at. But the other aspect is that he, as an individual, is doing, you know, completely different activities in each one and having a different mood in each one. Because if you're playing with the kids, that's going to be different than if you're doing housework, and then if you're sitting and playing chess with your wife, or, you know, like this. Does that make sense? You know, some of them he's out in the garden walking around, others he's in the house, others he's meeting with, you know, friends. Uddhava's coming, and his parents are coming, and like this. So that was the thing, is there wasn't one where they were kind of doing the same thing. Each one was completely different. So that aspect you're going to be taking, that emotional content or something. Does that make sense? So then, that's the difficulty, is that you're looking at two features of one aspect. So you're talking about these two. Because it's just like tattva and rasa. The tattva is just explaining rasa. You know, and rasa is what, you know, by applying that, that's what's tasted. So there's no difference in some of it's Sandini Ladin or Satchitananda, but at the same time is their influence is different. Does that make sense? You know, it's like Bhaktivinoda Thakur is talking about what is he talking about? The Vibhava, Prabhava, and Anubhava. So he's talking about this aspect. You know, the same thing, but in its vibhava feature, then it's as internal, external, and jiva. As its prabhava, it's icha, kriya, jnana. And as its anubhava, it's samvit, sandhi, nihladi. You know, so just depending which feature you're bringing out.
A lot of the good Basis don't want to know if Krishna is God.
Sorry?
A lot of the good Basis don't want to know if Krishna is God.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's I was thinking that we need another 12 years to understand that. Why is this like that?
Why not?
Yeah, you have to remember. It has to make
yes,
sense.
But it's just like this. Connection. Let us say a discussion is going on. There happens to be a couple, and there's a discussion going on. And in the discussion, it's not going very well. And the wife says, fine. Right?
Have it your way.
Yeah. And so does that mean it's fine and you can have it your way? Absolutely not.
Fine means just wait.
It also means go ahead and try. You see what happens. You know, it's a, what do you call it? It's a dare. You know? So, and it's not a dare meaning it's going to work out good. So, in there's influence, right? Because it's there is that he knows, okay, you can't do it. It means you've discussed it, and it's maybe it's this, maybe it's that, but now by saying fine, where you're in, technically by language, you're approving it, it means that's what's not approved. So it has that influence, but then there's a particular mood that's there. Does that make sense? So the two that you can look at either the mood of it or the influence of it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So you're dealing with one thing that has two features. At the same time as those features also can go out and be completely, you know, how you say, different aspects. You know, just like Krishna is the mood of, let's say, mood of anger that's there, but then you also have Nisringade. You know what I'm saying? So Krishna can be angry himself, or he can expand his Nisringadev. And so if he's doing it himself, it'll have one flavor, but if he expands his Nisringadev, it'll have another thing. But it's all coming from the same places. Something? Yes? No?
Yeah.
Kind of?
Yeah, in Chaitanya Shikshamrita, it is explained, like what you mentioned. Like, Bhava Prabhava and Anubhava, it's all there.
Yes. So it's the same thing, but at the same time it's different. And so that's why you see is that you can take one and apply it on the others. Does that make sense? You know, it's just you're bringing out different things. So when you bring out Icha Kriya and Jnana, you're going to have Krishna's desire, that being taken up by activities, but that being then in the context of situations. So in the situation, jnana, you can have the willpower to perform a particular activity. That'll be the kriya, and that then fulfills Krishna's desire, icha. You know, so then from that, then expands all that. So you have just there in Vrindavan, you have all that, but then that same principle of the jnana, that's what creates everything else. It's all based on that jnana aspect, that it's all situations. So therefore, Vaikuntha, the material world, everything is all created from that. But at the same time is, then you're going to have the aspect of, but the creating of it, that it happens, that's going to be the kriya. So the existence of it is there in the, you know, the jnana, but it's getting accomplished is there. But why is that? Because there's a desire. So you can say because of the desire, it's there. But it's actually done. But it's done because there's the existence that can be manifest. Does that make sense? So you have the three features, but at the same time as there are three features of one, because Krishna is one. Does that make sense? So you have Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. They're one. Non-dual entity, but there are three features of this of that one. You know, so just his existence goes everything. You can also have that existence as Brahman, the Brahma Jyoti. Does that make sense? So it's from the Sat aspect of his Satchitananda, his form, then will come that aspect of Brahman that you have as the existence, but the chit, that's where all the qualities are. But those qualities are then what's in that expanding in that Brahman. That's why everything can be based on Brahman. Right? Because all the worlds are manifest from Brahman. Because the qualities are there. And but why would that be happening? Because of Krishna's desire.
So it all begins with the desire.
It's all. That's why pleasing Krishna is the goal. So speculating on how to please Krishna and this and that, you know, because even if you want to go kind of material identities and all that, then Krishna's Indian, so that means he likes Indian stuff. So why would you speculate? Does that make sense? You know, and if you're not, you're going to go, he's a person, this is what he likes, this is what we do. So then you know it's the bhakti is the main thing and all that, but, you know, he has the ways he likes things done. So it's because of his desire, everything else is happening. But his desire is to interact with the devotees based on love. That's the real thing. Everything else is just expanding because of the varieties of love, or because people don't have that love and need to be put into an environment in which they can gradually, you know, by their own, at their own pace, develop that love. So that's what all the worlds are. You have the majesty and sweetness because of the difference in taste in that love, and you have, therefore, then the spiritual world and the material world because there are those who don't have that taste. And so then it's an opportunity that they can try to find the real taste. You know, the really real thing. Mm-hmm. Vastava, vastava. So that means that the one company has completely opposite understandings. It's the real, really thing, and the point is it always says, enjoy. So then, technically, if you're talking about the really real thing, then that means enjoyment actually means with the really real thing. That means about enjoying in Krishna consciousness. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, it's confirmed. We read the other day, those who know that Krishna is rasa, they enjoy rasa.
Yes.
But without that knowledge, you enjoy something, but it isn't rasa.
So it's so hidden. So then rasa is also considered liquid. And then
yeah.
You got lost somewhere there?
Yeah.
End of the day.
The last 2 minutes. Yeah, it's kind of like 2 days you can really focus, and then you have, you know, tomorrow, then you break, and then you can get back, and then, because otherwise, if it's just straight through, that just doesn't work, you know. Okay, so you'll be working on this chart.
I'm already seeing one. It's clear to me. Prakasha. The word Prakasha means. The word Prakasha means is the same form but an expansion. So Swayam Rupa means you know that he is that original Krishna. Mm-hmm. And when he expanded, it may be the same person, but still it's an expansion. It's a Prakasha from him. That's why then when there are expansion, we call it Prakashas.
Mm-hmm.
Then when Vaibhava Prakash means it's the same form, but because of the different mood, means also the Prakasha inherently means he has all the moods and potencies as the original Krishna.
Okay.
That's why the categorization on the first level is Swayam, and the second Tadekatma, then all the Vishnu expansions, there is something which is not there, especially the moods which Krishna has.
Well, you see, is that they're only manifesting 60%.
Yeah, also 60 qualities. Also.
60 qualities instead of 64.
Yeah.
So in other words, the Swayam Rupa means the 64.
Yes.
And then it, okay.
And though there, Balaramji is also mentioned again, and then Vasudeva Shankarshan are mentioned, still that Balaramji is not the Balaramji mentioned in the Vaibhav Prakash, in the Swayam expansion.
Okay. So it means it's where he's Paravasta.
Yes.
That's one thing.
Yes.
And then like that. Okay.
Now it's much better.
Yes, definitely.
But still we need the chart.
The chart is here. The chart is here.
With me. On your computer.
Yes, it's there.
You can make a poster, it will sell at the gift.
Yeah, it says it's there.
But they think the problem with the chart is they included in the Vaibhav Prakash, from there the Tadekatma expansions have come.
Okay.
So they just hang it up there. Then it's not exactly clear that it's not a categorization there, it's a different section on its own.
It's own section.
That's why the whole problem arises.
So we have to redo it so it doesn't have that.
Yes. So maybe we can just separate it.
Yes, and also from the Swamsha within the Tadekatma, then the Aveshas also, they just put it there. It comes in the same section as with...
Yeah, it's just all as incarnations, but
so
it's,
then,
it's...
But it's Aveshavatar, is another third level. That's the main problem.
Yes, so then in the Swayamrupa you get all these different things there, and then you got the Ekatma like that, and then the...
It's a good thing that they pointed out it from that section of this, the next level is coming out. But then they have to make it a separate categorization so that we don't remove the first categorization of three levels. Swayam and then...
Yeah, it just means if you show that, then you take it into a different thing.
Yes.
I say, what do you call it? Clear as mud. Yes. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.